Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Get you caught up in everything that's going on in the world of Penn State football. Plus, we'll talk a little Eagles football today. Yeah, that's right. There is training camp going on. I know it's hard to believe that I haven't discussed anything about football, but there's still another 5 days or so of Olympics coverage that I have to get through, and then I can start focusing on football. Steve, of course, is already in football mode. He's been in football mode for quite some time. Especially with everything that's been going on at Penn State. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline is available to you at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. That's the Lenape Solar Hotline. You can get caught up on your questions answered regarding any players that might be staying, leaving, or whatever questions you may have regarding anything in general. We even talk some baseball, too, if you want to do that. So that's a little bit of what's going on today. If, as we said, Philadelphia Eagles will be the big discussion. And, of course, the tragic loss of Andy Reid's son recently. They expected 900 people at the service earlier today and found him over the weekend passed down at training camp. So a tough time for Eagles fans. And then the Eagles also have to get ready for a game as well later on this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers in what Steve and I talked about yesterday a little bit off air, game one of the preseason never really excites me a whole lot. You get to see guys for maybe about a series. And sometimes you only see guys for about, they're only going to be there for another week. Yeah, that's true. But you see guys for about a series, and that's about it. And then you get into some of the guys that probably won't make the cut. One or two times you'll see a guy by the third quarter of the first game of the preseason that may be on the practice squad and may come up due to injury later on in the season. But that's pretty much the extent of it. And then, of course, you get into game two, and that's where things start to heat up a little bit. That's when I start to get interested in the preseason is game two, because you'll see at least, usually at least a half of the starters at that point. And game three is more the same. You'll get more of the starters, maybe even for the first series of the second half. And then, of course, the last game, you see the series, starters for just maybe a series, and then that's it. And then, again, guys that are struggling to make the final cut. Is the preseason worth it to you? That's one of the questions we should ask here today on the Steve Jones Show. Are you even interested in the preseason at all? And what games will you be interested in? You know, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh would be an interesting game to talk about just because of the proximity and the fan base. You know, it seems to be if you're in the Mount Carmel area, there's the line between the coal region, and then you get into Danville and Sunbury and Selins Grove and into Williamsport. That's kind of Steeler territory there. You get further south and east into southern Northumberland County. That gets into Eagles territory. So if this game were a regular season game, I think there'd be a lot more to discuss about it. But because it's the first preseason game, it's just, you're going to see everybody for about a series. So what preseason game gets you interested at all, if at all, of the preseason? And there's also discussion about adding another preseason game and adding another game to the regular schedule and maybe taking away that last preseason game. Now, if we add another game to the schedule and take the preseason games, take a preseason game away. So now you're looking at, let's see, one game that opens the preseason that, you know, you maybe see a guys for a series. Then you have another game where guys are going to play more often, the starters. And then would the third game be the game that, you know, nobody wants to get hurt in because you only have three preseason games? If you add another week to the season, that may even devalue the preseason games. I don't know. Just my thoughts. Correct me if I'm wrong. And Steve will do that from the Sunbury Motor Studio, no doubt. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And also available for the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we'll have more with the Steve Jones Show coming up.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon.
Aw, darn. I thought this was going to be the Kevin Hirsch Show. I was just getting ready to do Olympic updates.
Well, Allie Raisman did win today a gold and a bronze. She had to protest to get the bronze.
That's what I was going to ask about. I didn't hear the deal on that. Have you heard the info? What's the story behind that?
Well, I don't know what the story is behind it. I've, like most people, I have a living. So
sorry for you.
No. They had to protest. She was in fourth place, and I think this is similar to the Japanese protest, because the Japanese had the cash in hand. I mean, they had the cash in hand.
No, wait. You're referring to the fact of how much you have to pay to make a protest, right?
Yes.
Okay. Not the fact that they wanted to buy the medal. Okay.
Now, Raisman did win the floor exercise gold medal. So that's not even close to being in dispute. She won it. She took care of it. She won it.
Almost a perfect score there, from what I understand.
Right. Well, she did very well. But she won that. That was after the beam. And so she wins the gold. Now, she missed a medal in the all-around. She finished with the same score and, of course, was dropped to fourth in the tiebreak.
Travesty.
All right. But she was on the right end of the rules, and she bumped somebody off the podium in the balance beam.
Well, here's
Raisman initially finished fourth with a score of 14.966, but she questioned it, and judges added an extra tenth to her routine's difficulty after a review that gave her and Panor identical scores of 15.066. But Raisman got the bronze because her execution score was higher.
Correct. That's what I was just reading, too.
Give two bronze medals. Come on. After a while, they don't cost that much.
Well, here's where the controversy is going to come in, is the fact that they protested a change in the score. Then they did change the score. And it makes you sit and wonder, as a sports fan, well, okay, if they're willing to change the score here, why not change the score somewhere else? I mean, I'd like to know what the protest was and the details of that. That'll be interesting.
It was over the degree of difficulty of her routine.
Oh, okay, so it was on the original scoring.
Yes.
Oh,
the original score should be a tenth higher because her degree of difficulty in the routine was actually a tenth higher than they originally had it down.
Right, because now the way they're scoring gymnastics, you get a score to start from based on the degree of difficulty. That's like a perfect score. And then you work your way down from that. It's not the way it was in the Comaneci days where you got a 10, a 9, and things like that. You work your way from the top score down.
Right. So that's how they...
That makes sense now.
Right. So that's how it came about. They should have still awarded two bronze medals for her and the girl from Russia in the all-around.
Totally.
They should have awarded two bronze medals today. I mean, that's what you should do. I mean, all this tie-break stuff, and we're going to throw this. Oh, for goodness sakes, you got the same score. Move on.
Either that or have like a vault-off or a beam-off or something like that.
No, you know,
something
no,
entertaining
no,
if you're not going to give away two medals.
No, you can't do that. You cannot do that, okay? because it takes too much for them to go out there. Number one, they're exhausted.
They are exhausted.
They have mentally and physically thrown themselves into it. I don't care if it's 70 seconds, 90 seconds, whatever it is. But that's why when you see somebody on the take the floor exercise on the third tumbling pass, right, which is remarkable because they're dog tired. Right? The first tumbling pass has all the height and all the tricks to it and everything like that. If you can somehow get close to that in your third, it's amazing because you're tired. Balance beam, same thing. The good stuff is early, really good stuff. But then if you can pull off some really good stuff late because you're exhausted, you can't ask them to do that.
No, I'm just saying if you think not awarding two medals is appropriate, then you're going to have to look for some other way to break the tie other than go down to, you know, where this point stand was or how you did this thing in the middle of your whatever. I just to look at it that deep just makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's, you know, and judging sports, I mean, sports that are judged
Well, boxing's a perfect example of that. Olympic boxing, you know, I don't think we talked about this the other day, not on the air, but we talked about this the other day. There was a boxing three-round match where the fighter that was actually behind was knocked down six times, he was actually in the lead, in the round. Six times, and the referee didn't stop the fight. He ended up coming up and winning it. Now, he had the lead on points, but he was knocked down six times in the round. The referee obviously should have stopped the fight, didn't. They awarded the win to the other gentleman. Of course, a protest ensued there, and they reversed it, and the official was asked to turn in his gloves, as it were, and he wasn't doing any more officiating of boxing. But that's a great example of why you have to find – sometimes I think you have to find a better way to judge these sports.
All right. Penn State football uniform is going to change, and names are going to be on the backs of the jerseys. They're also going to put a blue ribbon on them on the jersey. I'm not sure where. It might be the front. A blue ribbon on them to support all victims of child abuse. But the names are going to be on the back of the jerseys. The jerseys have arrived. The nameplates arrive. Karen Caldwell will be the one sewing them on the back. And so they're going to put the names on.
Now, I've heard mixed reaction from Penn State fans about the names being on the back. I don't know. Look, I don't know that it matters that much to me personally.
Personally, I like it and always have liked it. I mean, I'm a big believer in the name on the front. But for television purposes, and especially when you have a team with so many duplicate numbers... Okay, and that's the way it is in college sports, in college football. In college football, you have a lot of duplicate numbers. Moy and Hodges, for example, both wore six last year. Both were key players on the team. Well, now you know who's who. But at the same time, I want fans to think of it this way. In a year where nine players left to go to what they perceive to be greener pastures, I want everybody to look at each name in the back of that Penn State jersey and say, you know what? That guy stayed here with us.
That's a great point.
Okay? That is how I want Penn State fans to look at this. Is it a break in tradition to put the names on the back? Yes. No question. Is it the first time it's ever happened to a Penn State team? No, it's happened. But basketball, for example, at one point had names in the backs of the jerseys. And I want to tell you right now, recruiting-wise, it makes a slight difference.
I was going to ask that next.
Parents love it.
I do agree with you from the broadcast and from a fan standpoint, too. I mean, if you don't get a chance to see every game or watch every game and you don't get the opportunity to realize there are two different numbers on a team, it can make it a little bit confusing. And a from that aspect,
I mean, do you have any idea how many tackles Derek Moy made last year on public address systems in the Big Ten?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can have an A behind it.
I remember one night Gus Felder in Beaver Stadium making one tackle after another because Tom Bahali wore 72 as a freshman.
So that's how Gus's stats got there.
Yeah, that's how Gus got stats. Right, but look, this. I want everyone to look at the name on the back of that jersey. Okay, they're all playing for the name on the front of the jersey, but look at the name on the back of the jersey. Remember it. Because when they were courted and pursued by everybody else, they decided to stay with you. To me, that is the most important part of names being on the back of the jerseys. They're also going to put the blue ribbons on the uniforms as well, which I knew they were going to do that. But I think it's a great move. I wouldn't change the helmet, wouldn't change the pants. Names in the back I'm okay with because from a television point of view, not so much radio because, I don't look at a monitor, but on television, you know who they are. You're sitting in the stands, you probably can get a read on who they are. And I think that that's the step in the right direction. I wouldn't change much else about it. Yeah. But I've always actually felt that there shouldn't be names in the back. In fact, when, for example, I see teams now take names off the back, and all of a sudden you're like, if I'm watching a team, I'm not, for example, who certain key players are on certain teams.
Sure.
Okay. But when you watch the game, you get a better feel for it when you see other names in the back of the jerseys. And this is one I'm for. And I think, and recruiting wise, it's not going to hurt recruiting wise. Yeah. Is it a break? Yeah, it's a break. But again, I think this is the kind of year where I want the fans to look at the back of a jersey, okay? And on the back of the jersey, see Belton and say to yourself, Belton stayed to play football in front of me. When I see McGloin, Maudie, Hodges, Carson, see those names on the back of the jersey? That name tells you that they stayed, that they're a part of it. 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to join in, that'd be great. So somebody trying to attempt to join in. So our number is 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. So that is something I'm sure fans will want to jump in and talk about today. You may completely disagree with it. But to me, I think it's important that people see the names of the people who stayed. That, to me, is the part that above all means the most to me about the back of the jersey. Because this is a time unlike any other. And having the name on the back, I want somebody to read the name Willis and say, Willis stayed. I want somebody to read the name on the back of Amos. Amos stayed. That, to me, is the most important part of it. Dukes stayed. Zwinak stayed. Carter stayed. James stayed. Lynch stayed. I mean, that's the most important part to me out of all of this. And I think more than ever, an opportunity to recognize young men who made a commitment to stay at a time where a lot of people made, when some people made the commitment that they thought there were greener pastures. I think it's important that there's a statement made about that. I think this is the statement. That's the biggest reason why I'm in favor of names in the back. Doesn't mean they're any less Penn State. Doesn't mean they're playing for anything less than the name of the front of the jersey. But I do believe, you know, to me, fantasy football is the ultimate play for the back of the jersey game. This isn't fantasy football. This is real football with real people who made real hard decisions that told other people when they were being swarmed, sometimes by 30, 40, 50 different schools, hey, come on, join us, follow me to freedom. And they stayed. That, to me, is what names in the back of the jersey are all about. You should be able to read that name in the back and say to yourself, Lynch stayed. Look at 22 Lynch. All right? So looking up, who's 22? Ah, that's 22 Lynch. Akil Lynch stayed. News bottom of the hour. Beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street to Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Lineupy Solar Hotline open at 800-795-9565.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Here on this Tuesday afternoon, names on the back of the jerseys for Penn State, and also a blue ribbon to be put on the back as well, or maybe on the sleeve, I guess it is, in support of those who have been unfortunately abused as children. So, yeah. So that's what they're going to do. How do you, the fans, feel about that? It's certainly a radical change. And, you know, it's definitely a radical change. But you know, I look at it two ways. Number one, from a radio TV perspective, especially for TV, fans should be able to look at a jersey, and you know, especially in a sport that has so many duplicate numbers. I mean, when teams are playing at home, when you're on the road, you can only bring 70 guys. But it turns out if your guys, especially in the era of single-digit numbers, more and more guys love having single-digit numbers. And you have a lot of duplicates. For example, as I mentioned, the Hodges example with Hodges and Moy last year, two number sixes, both start. You know, and that's not the only one. I mean, but there are others along the way that, you know, like Zwinek and Carson both wear 40. All right. They're both going to play. And sometimes guys change numbers along the way. Nick Suke had changed numbers three times. One, he had changed twice in 1 year because he ended up in the same special team with certain guys, and he had to change his number. He had 10 at one point. He and Corliss ended up in the same special team, so he changed to 18. Then all of a sudden, he had changed to 1. That's why some guys actually change numbers along the way if they end up in the same special team with a guy. You know, T.J. Radigan and Akil Lynch both wear 22. There are duplicates. And this will help the fans sort out who the duplicates are. But to me, there's another statement here. Seeing the name in the back of the jersey from my perspective, in a year where everybody has been held accountable for what they wanted to do about the future of Penn State football, each name in the back of the jersey that you read is a guy that stayed. And to me, it's important as individuals, because they're all wearing the same uniform, so there's unity there. But as individuals, It's a way for you to pay tribute to them. Yeah. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Now, you may disagree with it. If you want to call and tell me, no, 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 this is too far off the beaten path, or you think it's a slap at the previous regime or whatever, that's fine. You can let me know. 1-800-795-9565. You're the fans. You're the ones that pay the good money to go to Beaver Stadium and watch. They pay the good money to park and everything else that goes with it. Thus, I want to hear from you. You're the consumers. Yeah. But to me, players being recognized for staying, that's the most important part of all this. We go to Jason in Williamsport. Hello, Jason. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Steve. Come on now. You know the real reason you want the names on the jerseys now. Come on. It makes your job so much easier. You can wake up and go to the stadium. You don't have nothing else to worry about. Anybody can do your job, right?
I've been saying that for years.
Come on now, confess up, really. Come on, Steve. No, really.
I can't see the names in the back of the jerseys where I'm sitting.
I know. But you got to mark me up. Mark me up on the side of I hate it.
Okay.
I really. What are you going to do? Are you going to take the names off in 1 year so you remember all the seniors? Are you going to wait 4 years? You know, are you going to draw a line? Or are you going to let them on forever?
Jason, this is going to be a permanent change. This is not a 1 year wonder. This is a permanent change. Yeah.
But you know, I don't think it's for people to remember the guys' names that stayed. If you're a true Penn State fan, which I am, you remember the guys that left, the guys that stayed. You know, if they have duplicate numbers, you know who's who, you know. But that's my opinion. But
Moy made a lot of tackles in Big Ten stadiums last year. I can tell you that right now, Jason. Well, Moy made a lot of tackles.
More power to him. You know, yeah. All he has to do is say, look up their records. I made a lot of tackles. You know.
I know.
But no,
I know.
I just can't see them running out with names on the back. I can't picture that, you know. I really can't.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I don't know. Maybe people, there's probably 100,000 people agree with you.
I think in the end for TV, I think it's great. And to be honest with you, Jason, part of this, too, is I think in a recruiting realm, parents like it.
Speak of that. A couple days ago, I read the Harrisburg paper a lot.
Yeah.
And that was the first question one parent asked, are the names going to be on the back? And I thought, is that all you're worried about? I said, you know, I thought, if that's what this parent is worried about, what kind of kid are you raising?
But I think part of that has come from high schools now doing it. I've seen more high schools in the last decade put names on the back of the jerseys than I have ever seen.
Well, they think we're down south in the SEC.
That may be.
Right. You know, yeah. I just can't fathom it. I don't know. Maybe it'll go over good. I don't know. I hope it does. I hope there's 100-some plus thousand every game.
That's what I was going to ask you, Jason. Is it one of those things that, because you've never seen it before, it just doesn't seem like it's right? I understand that. Because I think that's what you're saying. That's what I get out of what you're saying. Because you said you can't imagine what it'll look like. I mean, do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. I just can't imagine what it's going to look like.
Yeah. No, I understand.
I don't know. No, it's, you know, Steve, you know, I know he's pushed for it. He likes it. That's fine. You know, but I'm just calling it,
You know, I mean, Jason, the part I get into is not, it's not the Jasons of the world that need to see Penn State on TV and see a name in the back. But I'll give you an example. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's and that's not who I'm talking about. For example, you and I were to sit down and watch a Notre Dame game. Notre Dame doesn't put names in the back of the jerseys. They did at one point, then they took them off. It depends on who the coach is at the particular moment. It takes me a little bit as a fan to, okay, wait a minute, this guy. Right? And for the casual fan who's just tuning in to see you, it really helps them know who they are seeing at that particular time. It's just like every pro game, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, most Major League Baseball teams do it. And obviously every NFL team does it because it allows the fans to identify who they're watching. And I think that's the name in the front. I'm a name in the front guy, always have been. But in the end, I think it doesn't hurt to put a name in the back. And when Penn State basketball did this, I was in favor of it. I was not in favor of Red taking the names off the back because Penn State basketball needs people to identify who the heck they're watching.
I think the casual fan outside of Pennsylvania, the only reason they're going to turn in, they're going to hope to see some 35 Penn State nothing.
Right.
They could care less whether the names are on the back or not. You follow my drift?
No, I do follow your drift. Yep, I do.
And they could care less. All they want to know and it's a national media pounding on us, But they're just hoping for Penn State to get killed every game. And it's the talk shows. Nobody gives Penn State any credit. And that's all they want to see is us get pushed our faces in the mud. That's my feeling.
I think that's one of the reasons why this show's taken off the way it has been, because we've taken a different approach.
Well, that could be, but I've heard you say it. Other people say it's us against the world, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And well, it's a shame because we are more than a football school. That really irks me.
That bothers me more than anything else. I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere. I don't need a guy in Indianapolis telling me what our culture is.
That irks me to no end. And they don't look at the graduation rate. They could care less. They don't even want to hear that talk.
That Council of Presidents, I'd like to know what the graduation rate is of each one of those schools for their football program, starting with Ed Ray at Oregon State. Okay, Ed Ray at Oregon State, what's your graduation rate, pal? 62%, 60%, 50%? It's 87 at the school you just criticized.
That's right.
I mean, I don't need that kind of talk from people who can't back it up themselves.
That's right. You go, any other school, you name a school, what are you noted for? Penn State's noted for meteorologists, agriculture, engineers, you name it.
Yep.
We put out
liberal arts,
education.
College of communications, you bet.
That's right. At these other schools, you try to talk to them about that. They don't want to hear that, But that really irks me. It really does. But
I believe,
thank you.
Thanks so much.
I've taken enough of your time. I'm getting too worked up now.
You're terrific.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Jason. So next up is Tony in Shamokin. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon. Didn't they have names on their jerseys in some bowl games?
No.
Never did.
Okay. No, but remember it was a big deal that Penn State wore the bowl patch.
Is that why?
One time, Penn State did not even wear the bowl patch.
Yeah, I knew there was something. And this blue, I don't care about the name. I don't like it, but it is what it is. It's Bill O'Brien's team. He can do what he wants. And it's still Penn State. As far as the blue ribbon goes, where is that going to go? I don't like that.
It's either going to go on the sleeve or the front.
I was thinking probably front, left, or right, and the chest. That's where they usually put things like that.
Well, I hope it's the same color as the jersey. in color. Yeah,
it might be. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'll get a closer look at the jersey when I go to the locker room tomorrow.
I had a flash through my head that it was going to go on the helmet. I thought, no.
No, it's not going to go on the helmet, no.
It's going to actually be on
the jersey.
I understand why they're doing it, but I just don't like that. Why call attention? But that's my opinion.
Oregon State's graduation rate, I was very close, by the way. You know, Ed Ray, the guy that got up there and was going on, 64%. By the way, I like Mike Riley a lot, the head football coach of Oregon State. I like him a lot. But 64%, Penn State's 87%. I think he should take his message back to his own campus.
I think so. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Tony. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, Let It Be So Hotline. Cooking today, names in the back of the jerseys. It will become a reality for Penn State. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Changes to the Penn State uniform. Names on the back. Light blue ribbon on the front. And that's what they're going to use this year. But names on the back and light blue ribbon on the front. How do you feel? Jason certainly made his points passionately about not changing the uniform at all. Tony, I think, felt the same way. But how do you feel about it? Names in the back of the jerseys. For Penn State, it's a radical change. Has it happened in other sports before? Yes, it's happened in other sports. It's happened in basketball. Hockey programs had it like that. And we have some marvelous athletes, and the individual recognition is one thing, that's fine. But at the same time, I think on television it allows people to see who they are. There's a tradition to it. So I can completely understand what not wanting to change, especially in times like now. Okay? And I'm sure that some people are wondering if, you know, if nothing had happened, I don't think people would think this way, but because it, you know, the circumstances were, now people are saying, is this another slap against Joe? And it's not. But I can understand why people wonder that.
You know, one of the things I talked about earlier, high school and youth football have had a lot of times where they're putting the names on the back of the jerseys. And the sole reason there is to make those players feel like big league players. I don't know that that's necessarily the reasoning behind this. At least I don't see it as that.
Well, I think names on backs have never bothered me because when I watch TV, I know who I'm watching.
Well, and half the time when you're watching youth football, you can't tell your son or daughter from the others.
Right, you know, but I mean, we see that at every level of it. I mean, for example, we're watching, name the sport in the United States. I mean, you were commenting the other day about in track how they're putting the names in the bibs.
Yeah, that's that, on the fronts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the names on the bibs are now available, so you can see it. That way you know who you're watching. I watched men's volleyball the other day. I know who Matt Anderson is facially, but I don't know all of his teammates, and all of a sudden, you know, I get to know them a little bit as the announcer says their name, but also seeing their name in the back of the jersey. Women's volleyball. Well, I do know on that team, I know Berg, Lindsey Berg, because I did a couple of matches involving Minnesota. I know Krista Harmato. I know Megan Hodge. I know who Destiny Hooker is. I know Logan Tom. Right? So I do know them, but then a couple of others get in there, and you're like, oh, okay, wait a minute. All right, so that's who that is. All right. And you have to, get yourself familiar with who it happens to be. So it doesn't, that part doesn't bother me too much. That part does not bother me. And I think that uh, Now, fans, you may if you disagree, that's fine. And if you because look, I am a traditionalist. I mean, there's no doubt about it. My baseball team is the Red Sox. Always has been. The Red Sox at home do not put their names in the back of the jerseys. Okay? Don't. Yankees don't put their names in the back of the jerseys, home or away. The Red Sox at home do not put their names in the backs, but they do put the names in the back of the road. That way the fans there know who the heck they're watching. That's a baseball rule. Every NHL team has names in the back. Every NBA team has names in the back. Every NFL team has names in the back. NFL didn't do it for a long time, but the AFL did it. The AFL was trying to get name recognition for their players so the fans knew who they were watching. From Lance Allworth in San Diego to Otis Taylor with Kansas City to Don Maynard or Emerson Boozer or Matt Snell with the Jets, whatever. I mean, they were trying to get some recognition for the fans so they knew who they were watching. And then that trend and craze has caught on across the board. Now, as I mentioned, not every team does it. But I think the Yankees are the only professional team that does not do it home and away. I don't think there's anybody else. I think everybody else. I mean, the Red Sox don't do it at home, but I believe everybody else does home and away jerseys with names on the back. Now, certain schools in the NCAA don't do it. Notre Dame has gone back and forth for years. I believe now they're in a realm where they don't have names in the back, right? USC doesn't, ironically. Silas Red just went there. USC doesn't. Texas does. Alabama does. LSU, I mean, most teams do have it on the back. And look, you know, you as fans are extremely important. You're the consumer. But part of this is to recruit 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds. And they like it. And considering Penn State needs to do whatever it can right now to get people to come here, I don't care whatever little edge you have. You need to take it. I mean, if a player really likes that, and it helps recruit them here, great.